This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Jeff Bliss, his Pacific Watch. The last time Jeff and I spoke, there were atmospheric rivers headed into the West Coast. The question was, would they strike in the areas that are damaged by the fire because of the danger of mudslides? Jeff, a very good evening to you. What is the status of that concern? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. We are experiencing slides already. We've had the rains come in, the atmospheric rivers, as we pointed out, hitting Northern California really first and hitting it hard. But down here in Southern California, where we've had the fire zones, especially in the L.A. area, it's getting tough now. The Eden fire seems to be the slides seem to be minimal so far. At least we're not getting a lot of reports out of there. But in Pacific Palisades, we've had several minor slides, but then we had a big one. And it was big enough that it closed Pacific Coast Highway. And, of course, that's a major transit route going north and south along the coast there and all along those communities in Pacific Palisades and Malibu. So this is going to be a tough one. And where our rains aren't over, and we know there are more coming along the way the next several weeks.
Cleanup has started already. The rains would slow the cleanup or keep the big trucks completely out of the area. How do they manage that?
Well, the big problem right now, probably the one you hear the most about in Palisades and out in Eaton, which is Altadena, Pasadena area, is that the rain is really, it's making the ground muddy is essentially what it is. And it makes it so tough for the victims, the survivors to go in and do their cleanups, to sort through the remnants to see if there's anything there. It just becomes a big, giant mud puddle. And it's so frustrating for these people. You see them going into these areas. They have all the right equipment, the boots, the gloves and everything, but they just can't get through everything because what they were looking for before was either on the surface or just below ashes and, burnt lumber. But now it's under a foot or two of mud, so it's a real problem. This is going to be a situation that's plaguing them for the next several weeks.
There are politicians in the area. There must be a camera. Who's there, Jeff?
Well, we had Richard Grenell. He's done a lot of work for Trump in both administrations. We have Lee Zeldin, who's the head of the EPA, and even Kamala Harris, former vice president, had been there. Now, Harris lives in Mandeville Canyon, Brentwood area, which was threatened by the fires, but she made her way over to Pacific Palisades yesterday to check out the situation. Lee Zeldin's been going around with Richard Grenell and others to look at these sites, and they're talking about what are we going to do about the hazardous materials. But, he made comments about how difficult this is going to be for everybody, but the Trump administration is going to commit some serious money and resources to getting this fixed.
Karen Bass is holding public events. What have you learned from her?
Well, today she had a town hall, or she was part of a big town hall called One Month Later. Because you can't have an event unless you give it a fancy title. But they did this event where they had a number of people who are involved with the recovery efforts and in front of a small audience talk about what's happening. But she was dinged for saying, let me backtrack a little bit. The fire chief, Crowley, had said earlier, hey, look, we weren't able to get these fires the attention they needed, and we're worried about what's going to happen in the future because of budget cuts and because we've had a lot of personnel taken away from us, namely people who work in areas like mechanics, fixing the fire trucks, re-equipping them. And Karen Bass essentially came out and said, don't pay attention to all my big budget cuts. I'm going to launch an investigation to figure out why there are no mechanics to fix those fire engines. Well, that's because she really got rid of them is what it's about. So, she keeps trying to get ahead of this curve of negative stuff that she's been facing since she came back from Ghana. And it's not helping. She's getting better at making presentations, but she's not getting the message out the right way.
Two big fires, the Eden fire and the Pacific Palisades fire. Have we got a cause for either?
We don't have a cause for Pacific Palisades. There's a lot of talk about it being, created by a fireworks fire sometime after the New Year, one that was allowed to stay, without being mopped up fully, that reignited. But the Eden fire, which is the Altadena, Pasadena area back there in the eastern part of the city, northeast part of the city, that has long been rumored to be having been caused by faulty equipment from Southern California Edison, the big electrical provider here in Southern California or in the L.A. area. And it appears that's where Southern California Edison is going with it now. There seem to be indications that there's it looks like it was our equipment. Nothing for sure yet, but that's where it seems it's going.
I remember that story about fireworks, something not being entirely extinguished, and that's still the only version we have. Is that correct?
It is. There have been additional, there have been additional theories that it was caused by, part of a homeless encampment. There may have been a third cause, but really the two leading causes people say are fireworks that were never fully extinguished after they had a small fire, or that there was an open heating or fire source in a small homeless encampment. And they're going to keep digging in on that.
All right, let's go for some good news. Now, I remember you introducing me to the new In-N-Out that's planned in Las Vegas near the new baseball stadium that's rising. It was two stories. It looked very attractive. But now you tell me it's going to be how many stories? How big is it, Jeff? Is it growing?
When I saw the renderings of it, I was shocked. It looks like it's about four stories tall. And we know, it's going to have rooftop seating so people can sit it and watch the things coming and going on the strip. It's going to have enclosed dining. Of course, you need to do that in Vegas where it gets up to 110 or 115 or sometimes more. But it has all the looks of Vegas, all the neon, all the flashiness, kind of all the decor or, design that you'd expect from Vegas. But it'll be right there over the strip. And, the more I've been thinking about it, what a brilliant move. I think that place is going to be packed 24/7. I mean, Vegas is one of those towns that never sleeps. But, you'll be able to eat there for a reasonable amount of money, get great food. I'm a big fan of their food. And have a place to sit and relax and see the action going on in Vegas. It's a brilliant move by whoever decided to put it there.
And it is near the baseball stadium. Do I remember that correctly?
Well, the baseball stadium's down a few blocks. But, yeah, relatively speaking, I mean, it's not too hot. It's a comfortable walk.
And we moved to a part of Las Vegas I'm unfamiliar with, which is the cost of drinking.
You'd be surprised what people pay. I did a tour with a manager of a major restaurant nightclub in Las Vegas at MGM there. And he was talking about the groups that would come into the nightclub at night and how much they would order in terms of alcohol, and how there are groups that will come in and they actually feel like they have to have a bigger spend than another group that it kind of rivals with, and it can run into the tens of thousands. But what we're talking about is just that prices in Vegas have been going up. It has really become such a destination for so many people beyond just the gambling. And it's a place where people want to be seen spending money. And it's a place where the hotels and casinos don't mind taking people for that money, too. So you go to places and, a normal cocktail can be $20 easily, sometimes more. But there are places where if you order, a brand and they make it up there for you in one of the fancy hotel bars, you could pay $40 or $50. I've seen it myself on the receipts. I can tell you from my own standpoint, having gone there, if I stopped in and had a beer after a concert, just one beer, it would run probably $10 or $15 for that one beer. We're talking about a bottle of beer, not a fancy one or anything. It's just a bottle of domestic beer. It's ridiculous that it's that high.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.